877-822-4414.
Author Jill Marie Landis is back, releasing her fourth book in the Kauai-based Tiki Goddess Mystery Series. Rescheduled due to weather for Sunday, August 17th from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Tahiti Nui Luau Room in Hanalei. You can meet the author. Signed copies of her latest book, Too Hot for Hula, will be available. The afternoon will include live music, hula, food, and a no-host bar. That's Sunday, August 17th from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Tahiti Nui in Hanalei. The public is welcome. More information available online at thetikigoddess.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
We love that. We love that. Thank you, Doug, for that beautiful disclaimer. Just reminding you that this is a loose-knit group of rogues on the airwaves, and we're all responsible for our own stuff, basically, because they don't censor us, and we don't have to worry about any commercial interests telling us what we can or can't do either. We just have to make sure we don't do the seven deadly words for the FCC, and we have to make sure that we're equally representing everybody. So with that said, thank you, Doug, for that wonderful disclaimer for the station ID. We've got Felicia Cowden in as our first guest today, and we'll be back right after this. Get away, it's a little bit too late. It's quite soapbox. We got Felicia Cowden in the studio, actually the former host of the Kauai Soapbox radio show is in here today as a guest now.
Yeah,
as a community member.
It's so nice to be in here with you, Carlos, again. I love the whole KKCR family.
It's pretty cool. God, we're just coming up to 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly. And kind of reminding the listener that the reason that KKCR was really able to start was because of Hurricane Iniki.
You know, you're absolutely right.
Giving us this...
there was a hole in coverage.
There was a hole in coverage.
At that time. And so Janet Planet and a whole bunch of other people got together with Butch Kekahu. And I apologize, I'm not even going to try to get everybody down. But a lot of amazing people really felt like there was a need for community radio.
Yeah, and we didn't have really radio coverage at all during that for months and months, and I just was thinking about it as I was driving over here because I saw a big line of cars waiting to get into Kilauea gas station, and I know yesterday they closed early because they ran out of gas.
And I was part of that.
Ah, okay. But, you know, I've been looking at the maps, and it's looking pretty good. Now, I'll be selfish. You know, this is an election season. The polling happens on the 9th for people who don't go in early, which is still available, like up until Thursday from 8 to 4 p.m. at the Historic County Building.
And it's highly suggested by a whole bunch of people from all parts of everything that makes Kauai great. They're suggesting going and vote early, just in case. You can actually go in outside of your polling place with proper ID and vote early before the storm hits.
Mm-hmm. Many people have done that. So it'll be, today is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday it's not open. But then Saturday is the regular polling.
Yeah.
And, you know, we might have a big storm. Hopefully it will be okay.
Now, for those of you who don't know, and I'm sure everyone does, I had done the show for about 15 years, and the last year and a half, Felicia did the show with me and got up to speed. And basically, at some point, I just felt like it was time for her to spread her wings and me to step out. She was doing a fantastic job. And when she made the decision for run for county office, of course, because we are a community radio station, she had to step down from her host position. And I've been in here taking up the slack in the meantime. But Felicia is in as a guest today.
Yes.
So
and those,
she has free reign.
Those three years on the radio really transformed me. Because,
I guess, yeah, it's been three, actually.
Yeah, a year and a half us together and then a year and a half for me on my own. And I've learned just an incredible amount from the listeners, and in fact, really, it's different listeners that are the most strong impetus of why I decided to run for office.
Now, those of you who used to listen to my show years ago know I was kind of a political junkie. Coming back to the show, I kind of made a decision not to go politically crazy and really turn it over more to the listeners and guests. And so why I thought this was interesting and appropriate at the end here was just because you actually had to make a decision to step down from your radio show to run for office, which is how that works, because we receive federal money.
Mm-hmm.
We keep it really clean. So that was a big decision on your part because you really were doing great work on the radio. What made you move in that direction?
Well, I will say before I decided to run for office, I checked with both the county and the station, and win or lose, I can be back on the air.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. It's just during the election.
But just during the election.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if I do end up being a council member, or if people tell me I should say when, but, I don't like to be that presumptuous, you know, we can still continue the dialogue, and there's a lot of different things. But I am enjoying the process of the campaign, and I've, you know, already been treating this like a full-time job for good 25 years. I've been involved with public policy, and certainly having this show brings me front and center in all these issues. With the Tuesday show, it's like having an exam every week, so it doesn't feel actually that much different. But I have been learning so much, and I've been really listening with a different ear and paying a lot of attention to what the positions are of the council members and the difficult place that they're put in. You know, a lot of times they make these decisions, it's not like they have the freedom to just totally be able to put their opinion out or be able to make the choices as freely as a lot of people presume that they can. But I do have the time, and I've been preparing to be ready to just, like, pull my own weight in the canoe. I've been going to all the budget meetings, the different commission meetings, all over the island, listening to different points of interest. If anybody does want me to come and learn something about what they're doing that I haven't been involved with yet, my number is 652-4363. And I really am happy and willing to come and learn more and more. So 652-4363.
And you did mention you're willing for people to call in right now if they've got any questions about your political stances or affiliation.
People can call in. And, you know, there's so many complex problems that are facing the county right now. And yeah, I'm a math teacher. So, you know, sometimes when people think, okay, it's a simple adding and subtracting equation like money in, money out, there's a little bit of truth to that, but it's really, it feels a lot more like an upper algebra problem than a simple equation because there's so many different factors that come into every decision that they make. And I think when we're looking, you know, where our priorities need to be, some of them are just pretty bold and out there. The water department runs a little bit separate, but it still is a part of the county, and we need to keep clean water running. We've seen some pretty significant problems in Kalaheo, and even this week in Lihue when there was a little bit of a mishap in a repair, so they had to boil their water for about 4 days, and we had almost a month without really water in Kalaheo. And so I understand that these big issues are a core responsibility of the county, even our traffic. It's been very interesting for me spending most of the time I've been spending on the west, south side, and I apologize to my own neighborhood on the north and the east, but I've really been needing to meet the people on the other side. So I see that going Lihue west is actually more congested than going from Lihue to the north. So that's been very interesting. Another piece that has come up, not just this week, is about our real property taxes. That's something that I've been focusing on with different people for a couple of months now, even before we saw what was coming out, because we need to be supporting home-based businesses, small business, grassroots, and already people were struggling hard. I've met so many people who've been doing everything they can to keep their housing, and then they've gotten really hit hard when this 2% cap came off. I don't think many people even saw that coming. And we got to be really careful to not run people off their farm or out of their home or business. And I'll be there at the county council meeting tomorrow when they're going to be talking about this mishap that happened, because powerful people who had $2,000 or $3,000 bills had this $18,000 bill, big bills difference due in 30 days, with a 1% per month consequence if they don't. And I'm really worried about the people who hold mortgages through an escrow company that pays the taxes, because they might not even notice what happened.
Thank you. I was going to bring that up because I'm one of those people, and our taxes is paid as part of our mortgage, so we don't really see it. We kind of know over the years what it is, and we'll notice kind of if it goes up 6 months later, but it's always been contained within a certain kind of ratio and growth.
2%.
And now I'm afraid to even look.
Well, some people had The extreme cases I saw was like an 800% increase, and typically that happened in these households that were a little bit already desperate. So maybe they drywalled out a little space in their garage and moved into their garage and rented their home out long term because they couldn't even hold on to the home. And now, you know, they're hit with something that's like almost their annual income in 30 days, you know. So I've seen just devastated people, and I don't think that the council meant for this to happen. So tomorrow there's going to be a very vigorous discussion, and I will certainly be there, and we'll be looking at things, and we need to see how we can figure that
Alicia,
out.
Alicia, where is that again, and what time is it?
Okay, I need to look it up on the Internet, but typically it starts at 9 a.m.,
okay,
and it's on the old historic county building, which is now called the council building, on Rice Street. And it'll probably, you know, typically it happens till about 5 o'clock. They deal with different issues. Tomorrow they're calling it, they're discussing a workshop, because they don't mean for people to be hurt. But we do need to stay that that charge. I will definitely be pulling for that.
We do have callers, and we have said the phone lines are open at 826-7771 if somebody has a question or a statement for you or to you. Go ahead, caller, and thank you so much for holding. What's on your mind?
Yes, aloha, Felicia. Thank you so much for all you've done for the community, both on the air and in your present endeavor.
Thank you.
The concern I have is the runoff or the downstream effect, however you want to express it, of the tremendous pesticide and herbicide usage and how it, you know, comes through, perhaps, which I think it does, in our community water supply. Could you speak to that issue?
Sure. I think that the bigger challenge where the runoff is coming with
Hello?
I think that the bigger challenge...
You're there. We can hear you.
I think my yellow button needs to be pushed.
I can't hear you guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
Sorry, that was my fault. I had a button not pushed.
That's
go
cool.
ahead, Felicia.
Okay. So I think that the bigger challenge with the pesticide runoff is going to be felt by the surfers and the people in the water that are swimming in the water, people who might be in the rivers or playing in the estuary, because without question, water runs downhill. That's going to be moving down there. We don't know how significant it is in that water. It's tested from time to time. There's some there. You can see the heavy silt and water in there. That's more profound than in the water. It's about a 30-year time percolation rate to get down to our groundwater. Atrazine has been found in the water, but the water department tests pretty regularly, and they do a pretty good job, so we're not seeing heavy parts per million in there. I've been to many science discussions where something like atrazine, that does more damage in parts per billion or part, even a little bit in parts per trillion when it's subtle. So we don't 100% know. Like, I don't panic when I drink the water. I think the water department is doing a pretty good job. But we do really need to contain this challenge. And what I've been watching in the past month to 2 months is the stuff with the Charter Amendment Initiative, and that's been a very difficult situation, and the number of signatures necessary has been put forward now twice. So we have very, very discouraged people who've been working hard on creating an environment where the industry will be the ones to have the burden of proof of whether something is healthy or not. And if, as they're saying, that the pesticides do not drift either in the air or the water or the soil, then they're all good. If it doesn't, well, then it's a problem. And in this particular charter amendment, it has it such that through the permitting process that the industry would be paying the cost of regulation. So that was something, and I should say is possibly something that might go on the ballot initiative for people to vote on. But as of 2 weeks ago, that was denied to go on the ballot. They had some concerns as to whether it would be something that they could actually implement and, you know, if it would be a big problem. So there might be a court challenge on their decision to block it. You know, I could go on long. We could do a whole show on that particular topic, but that continues to be a burning issue. It continues to be something that I'm watching very closely, and we want to be careful and cautious how we deal with it. We don't want to, like, destroy jobs on the West Side. Obviously, the best choice is for these innovative companies that are very able to do research and development, for them to shift their weight about 20% and start researching and developing how they can grow crops that people want to eat and be neighbors that people want to live next to. But anyway, that's a very long topic.
So was that a decent answer for you, caller?
Yes. Do you personally filter your water, Felicia?
I do, and I've got I was really blessed with an incredible water filter that, honestly, one of the people who gave up, a lifetime resident of the West Side, who's one of the family members is getting cancer. Another family member just had chronic health problems. And they did leave the island. They could not sell their house. And they gave me their really great water filter.
What type is that? Is it carbon charcoal?
It's
type?
Called, it's just got it. The water filter has an accent. It says Kangen Water 9.0.
Oh, yes, that's one amongst the
best. A water alkalizer, too. That's
yeah. So it does a lot of really great things.
Worthy
so
of a whole other show.
Worthy of another show. But
thank you so much, Felicia.
Yeah. All thank right. you.
So, Felicia, your online listeners jumped from 29 to 54 in the last 5 minutes.
Thank
so,
you, everybody.
I'm kind of curious. I want to, you know, hear about the issues, but I want to hear about your issue underneath, because when you decide, you've always been very politically active mm-hmm. since I've known you for 20-plus years. And
almost 30.
You've been involved in the community and education, PTA, PTSA,
whole range of acronyms, certainly economic
YPA,
development.
Economic development, like all across the board. To jump into county council gives you a lot of access, but also suddenly limits you too. What mm-hmm. what drew you to moving into the specific position of a county council? It's not something that you did kind of in haste. This has been a long time coming, and I think what I saw as a friend was once you moved into the radio, you really just realized that you're a community activist. You
well,
just want to be involved.
I can answer that, and I'm glad that you know you're the first person who's really asked it that way. And when I look at the government, in many ways, our constitutions are designed to protect private property rights, and they have evolved to basically almost protect the corporations from the people, not the people from the corporations. And we've had a pretty big challenge when we see everything from the state governor and the president, you know, this revolving door between the regulators and the industry. So we've had a big problem with that. And I know that the mayor is under a lot of fire right now, and I actually don't even want to speak to the challenges that we're seeing in the mayoral race right now, because that's another big, long conversation. But our county council has been almost like a last line of defense for democracy, and they have been willing to listen to the people exhaustively. Whether they agreed with us or not, they have listened, and I've been amongst those people who have been hundreds of hours, actually, in the county council environment in the past year. And so I see challengers coming in about two very strongly, but probably about five, that clearly are coming in representing the interests of that industry, and they are not labeling themselves. They're not claiming their... It's interesting to me because they should be proud of their job, and they're not. And they seem like really nice people, but, you know, when we don't have that transparency, and I see that they're being really promoted heavily, and that's probably going to be what pulls the weight in the council if people are displaced that have been willing to listen. And, I didn't see anybody putting their name in, and... I couldn't stand idly by, so I put my name in, and I was, very busy with the school that I have been running, and so I really got into this race late, and I appreciate all the help that I've gotten. I have no experience in running a campaign, so it's been an interesting process, but I have set everything aside, and I have put my energy into this 100%, and while I'm saying that I don't like the way the industry maybe is even going to infiltrate the county council. We see them in our state hospitals. We see them in all kinds of areas. I still will listen to them. I've had them on the show. I will continue to listen to them, continue to work for a way to solve the problems. But if they're not even coming into the council saying, hey, we need to protect this industry from the 5,000 people that have been out in the streets, I need to raise my hand and say, well, I have to at least join the conversation for balance. I'm getting along fine with the challengers. I have a great relationship with all seven of the council members. I can work with any of them. I can work with the mayor's office very happily. There's a lot of good that does come out of the mayor's office that I am in agreement with. I can work with his challengers. But I feel like a bridge, and I'm coming in to bridge this.
Well, it's fascinating because we are a representative democracy, and any interests at all out there absolutely have a right. What's shocking sometimes is how, in a way, it's almost political Darwinism. Of course they're going to be, moving in to represent their interests, and you would think that there would be more people coming in just as citizens to represent their interests. And I don't know that not knowing how to run a campaign is necessarily a bad thing.
I'm not riding the horse in the parade, and I can see who is on the horse in the parade, and that's who is meant to win.
We've got more callers. We've got Felicia Cowden running for her first county council seat, 826-7771, and feel free to call in. I just saw a little flashing red light there. It's back again. I want to make sure it's there. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Well, I'm going to vote for you, Felicia.
Thank you.
Thanks for stepping up to the plate. You'd be a great city council person.
Now, what could you give us your reasoning?
The GMO issue is the biggest issue as far as I'm concerned. But
Can I second that for a moment?
You mentioned 5,000 people in the march, but, Mayor Carvalho was in that march, so... maybe it's 4,999.
Well, I would like to say that I mentioned 5,000 people, and they weren't all in the same march. I was at a lot of these different events, so there was two big marches. There was the Vandana Shiva event, and there was a handful of other things, and I'll tell you, they weren't all the same faces. And as I have walked around the island and going door to door, I have expected to be... really resisted on the south and the west side, and I am shocked at how many people on the south and west side, that's their number one thing, and they don't trust me that I'm even going to protect them from what's happening. And I expected to be tortured a little bit, especially as I see my signs and banners being taken down over there. But really,
that's not people who know you. That's because you represent an opponent to the GMOs, you know.
I represent, and I want to say, because I actually am I was like the president of the North Shore Business Council for a long time. I was on the Kauai Business Council. I've been in a lot of business things, and I'm all about agriculture. I want to contain that and help encourage that to be healthy. You know, that's the option that they have. It's not a yes or a no. It's like, do better things. And I think the people who work in that industry will be happy, and they'll be proud to say, this is who I work for. And they'll be proud to put their label on the food. I believe it is possible. As I talk to the people who work in the industry, they are good people. And they somehow really believe, they haven't looked at the science in the way that I have looked at the science with the whistleblowers from the industry as they come in here. I think that they, you know, as people get more information, even that work within the industry, that they'll start to really appreciate. People want to be proud of the food that they grow, and these people aren't bad people. I really see that.
Caller, I've got a couple calls stacking up.
Well, I'll let you go, but it takes a lot of courage to put your hat in the ring, and I admire you, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, caller. 826-7771. We're going to start moving calls along. About a minute and a half, 2 minutes, unless there's no one behind you, and then we can go a little deeper. Go ahead, caller.
And
you
Hi. Might,
hey, you forgot your radio on. Maybe you could turn it down.
I turned it down, but you hung up on me.
Okay, well, you're on now.
Oh, yay. Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
Went and voted today. I voted for you. I love you. You're a friend of mine, and I'm very proud of you for stepping up to the plate and representing many of our voices. And I find you to be so intelligent, and you have studied issues. You're one of the only people, candidates, that are attending many, many different meetings on many different subjects. And anyway, it was wonderful waving signs with you this morning.
Thank you.
I just hope that people out there will discuss you and talk about you in a positive way for those people that don't know you, so that they will, you know, cast their ballot in your direction.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate your endorsement.
And as an homage to you, I want to say once again, early voting reminder, because I know who this is. I won't say who it is on the air, but early voting is now open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the historic county council building, where the beautiful holiday lights are every year on Rice Street, that older building, from 8 to 4. The last day is August 7th, which I believe is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, it was so easy, and there was really no lines. They just kind of check your ID, and you fill out a form, and you go in, and you can do it either a paper ballot or an electronic ballot.
Well, I'll be there tomorrow. I think that's great. So thank you very much. And thanks for all your hard work registering people.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Aloha.
Love you.
Felicia Cowden in the studio, 826-7771. We're going to keep taking your calls and try to move them along as fast as we can. So if you have a question or statement, let's get to it quick. We can get as many people on as possible. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. My name is Marky Moffin. I work in the belly of the beast. I'm a care provider in Waimea, and I've seen sick people that I feel are sick from pesticide illness every single day, to the point where I'm thinking even health care providers may consider leaving, because we also are being exposed. And when we recently had a visit from a medical toxicologist, a doctor from the Philippines, he said that our prognosis as an island, because of the high amounts and the different varieties of pesticides being sprayed, and the wind patterns and the wave patterns and the rain and the water waves, that our prognosis, in other words, the results of what we're doing here, is going to be very, very poor. And that's if we stop today.
Mm-hmm. It's very concerning. I agree with that, and it's a priority to take care of that and manage it so that we have healthy land practices and ocean practices.
Yeah. So I just wanted to comment on that. Thank you, and I'm voting for you, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, caller. Thanks for calling in. 826-7771. Caller, I apologize. I think we finished up, and then I heard you about to say one last word. I apologize. 826-7771. Toll free off island at 866-275-1112. And we would love to hear your calls. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air, and thanks for holding.
Aloha, you guys. Hold on just a second. Take it off. Aloha, Felicia.
Uh-huh.
I'm your birthday buddy.
Oh, right on.
I would like to ask a question. Right now, the federal government seems to be trying to take over the land through the DOI hearings and the ocean by declaring it all marine protected areas everywhere around. Do you think there's anything the county can do to help preserve the rights of people?
Sounds great.
Here in Kauai?
Well, I think it is. You're asking a really critical question. And, like, I went to both of those Department of Interior meetings.
Yes, so did I.
And, you know, that one in Waimea, and for the listener that doesn't know, that is regarding the Native Hawaiians and how they want to work with making a nationhood status with the federal government. And what I heard was a resounding no, we are not interested in that. People are really concerned that what they do is that they give up their status of being an occupied nation. So that was a very big
sovereign
element,
and
a sovereign
nation,
and yeah. occupied nation. And so I heard a resounding request for the State Department to be there. I applaud them for doing 14 or 15 meetings, many of which were on the mainland in the other Hawaiian communities. And I share their concern that the main goal is to contain and manage that critical element. We are guests in their home, is the way I see it. I really respect the Hawaiian right to manage the land. I really like the Aha Moku system that has been placed by the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Your key question was, how do we influence the federal government? And I think with perseverance, persistence, and gentle persuasion, we do not have, as a county, easy authority. We have to work more diplomatically, and I think one of the first things that we can do is to really listen to the people, hear the concerns, and understand the concerns. And what I would ask for our citizens in our community is to learn what is the capacity of each elected position and not get completely angry when especially the staff members. I've seen the staff members just being really mistreated in the government. That hurts me to see that because they don't have the position to make other people's viewpoint become the reality. And so we have to work together. And so it takes learning, listening, and understanding the system well enough to have the program work the way that we want it to be. Many people are very, very concerned about the damage happening to the oceans is another element. And, wouldn't it be wonderful if RIMPAC was able to do something next time? Like, I mean this sincerely, and people kind of laugh when I say it, and I've noticed other people are saying it. If we took a RIMPAC exercise and cleaned up the plastic in the ocean, we can still spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, doing that. But I think it would be this bonding that we're looking for amongst the countries, and it would work towards world peace. It would hit all of our key objectives. So that's an example that's outside that box of authority of the county, but I'd like to see happen.
Great question, caller. We have another caller online. Go ahead, 826-7771.
I'm sorry, it's me again because I got cut off.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask Felicia also, Maui County seems to be much more effective in controlling what happens to their own waters and their own resources. And I think part of the reason is they elected their Aha Moku councils, which we have not done. Ours were appointed. But, you know, I think that I just wonder what is the difference in the county model that is making them so much more successful. I don't think it's a question you can answer, but it's certainly one of the reasons I'm going to vote for you is that I feel that you understand that the county is the last stance often between having something happen that an outside person thinks is perfect
and,
for you.
And I would like
not.
I would like to speak to that really excellent question. One short answer with the water anyway, is the water board, you know, for the state, there was a number of members that were from Maui. And originally, they were actually developers, so they got what they wanted. And it took, I think it was Earth Justice, or it might have, I think it was one of them fought it and helped to overturn the decisions that were made.
Good.
But I think that when you ask about... you actually restate that question. You had something I really wanted to speak to, and I was kind of forgetting for just a moment there.
I was talking about the Moku councils, too, that ours were not elected. Ours had been appointed, and my experience so far is less than satisfying. It's not as satisfying as your experience.
Well, I've been going to the Ahamoku meetings, and it seems, you know, they have been exceeding my expectations. You know, I really like the direction. I think even if we take the whole element of race out of here, the Hawaiian people, they lived here for at least a millennium. Some people argue quite a bit longer than that. And they lived in balance. And so they are extraordinary at being able to manage this land system.
Absolutely.
And we are very wise to try and take some of that and adapt it at a county level. And look and honor their land management system. And the school program that I do, we learn deeply the Ahumoku system and the Ahupua'a system, where we work within the watersheds, and we really need to make sure that we keep that focus that
way.
Well,
I think you really hit it and nailed it with that. It is our local resource. It's our things that we need to take care of. And Sharon Pomeroy, bless her heart, when she did the first meeting on the Ahamoku councils, she said, this is for everybody. This is not about race. This is for everybody to create a healthy environment for themselves to be in.
If I could jump in real quick, I noticed something in your conversation, both of you, that I thought was very interesting. You were expressing your gratitude or appreciation of the strength that you saw Maui's system have. And then what I heard Felicia say was it actually grew out of adversity and perhaps even a little abuse. It evolved, and so that gives us hope here in Kauai, too, because
absolutely,
politics at this level and any level is a work in progress. So they didn't actually start perfect. They started with some people wielding influence, and that's representational democracy, too, representative democracy. So everyone's got a right to get in there, so here we are, and here we are in Kauai. So that's great.
Well,
from
I
the compost.
At least say before I go that I'm not saying that anybody who's in the Ahamoku councils is the wrong people. Not at all. Not
I think that's important
to clarify
that. It was
organized differently, and my experience with the council advisory coming out of DLNR has not necessarily been satisfactory to Kauai. So I think we have a real purpose in our councils to really support our Moku people, but I would have felt more comfortable if there had been a little bit more input about who got chosen.
There's a really excellent resolution that was passed on Maui that recognizes the history of what has happened to the Hawaiian people and honors that, you know, again and again, it's not suspected, it's known that what happened wasn't righteous by the very premises of the United States of America and international law. So they have put forward a statement that acknowledges that, and I know that they have some, a little bit stronger practices in managing the people within, or I don't even want to use the word managing, in responding to the people within the sovereignty movement. They have a little bit more of a pathway of respect. And I think that, you know, what's good for the Hawaiians is good for all of us. And to Hawaiians who are listening, sorry to say the Hawaiians, but I mean what is good for the people who live within the Kanaka Mo'oli practices is good for all of us.
So
I respect that methodology of land management. And
well, I am totally going to vote for you, Felicia. And
thank
I'll
you.
Say goodbye and let somebody else have a chance. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Felicia, we did have a caller somehow got mixed up on the board, and that last caller got back on in front of them, but they wanted to know your stance on legalization of marijuana and medicinal marijuana. And it is political season, so people throw out the litmus test questions. And they're valid. They don't always reflect the totality of a person. But what are your feelings?
You know me, Carlos. I am incredibly straight. You know, I feel like to a point where I'm almost missed some of my social development.
Are you saying you're boring?
I don't think I'm boring, but I don't drink. I've never been able to develop a capacity to want to drink alcohol or do any kind of drugs. So I will acknowledge my naivete, but I do remember when I came here, we had, I've lived here 30 years, we had a thriving, what I would call alternative agriculture business here. I felt like I could have written a master's thesis.
Now, the way you just said that sounded like you specifically had a thriving agriculture.
Well, I didn't, yeah. But I mean,
I wanted to clarify
that was there, and, you know, when working retail and things like that, you know, $100 bills were like 20s. They had huge banks in there for making change, and you know, people were calm. It's a sedative. People had lots of cash. It was a simpler time when we came in. The government, I didn't do it, when the government came in and eradicated that, it really had a profound and hard effect on our community here. And you know, what we saw was crystal methamphetamine replaced some of that as a commodity. I'd say heroin came in first, and but then it got replaced by crystal methamphetamine. I don't think that was good for anybody. And we had, you know, a transition to poverty. And then other people sort of shifted their commodity to real estate. And so we saw a big, all of a sudden, burst of speculative investment, and many people were pushed out of their houses as all of a sudden land sales up here just went crazy. And so it was interesting to see these corollaries, and the boating industry shut down at the same time.
Yeah.
So we had this big collapse of two main industries in Hanalei, and that's why I really think about that relative to when we're looking at the west side, is how do we manage it so we don't destroy families over there? How can we adapt over there so we can still have an agrarian thing? There's a product that's out there. I didn't directly, I guess, answer that question. I would say it sounds like I'm more in the yes category than in the no category on that, because I've seen that it was something positive here, even though at the time my little credibly straight self was like, well, you know, is this right? But we've been introducing this idea of CANAF, which is a very industrial hemp. Takes very little water. It's the right latitude for growing it for seed. There's a big market for it in China and the U.S. mainland area. There's many different things and a lot of vertical industry that is not marijuana. You can't smoke it, but you can do a lot of positive things with it. So that's a crop that could be grown here, so I am looking for other crops, too, to be complementing and keeping us not totally dependent on.
I do appreciate you looking at the complexity of that issue and any issue. GMO issue is a great one because there are a group of people on the west side that are directly dependent upon the agriculture industry out there. To provide them and their families, you know, life and sustenance. And there are people who say, well, who cares? You know, the goodness of the many outweighs the goodness of the few. But you, especially as a politician, but as a developed human being, you have to look at all aspects of everything. And to talk about changing the makeup of the West Side and its job structure right now, moving possibly away from the GMO and ag industry as it is and towards something else, if you don't talk about those jobs and those people in that community, I think you've already failed.
And we can adapt to healthy ag. I think the West Side wants to be ag. A lot of Kauai wants to be ag. The North Shore wants to be ag.
Right.
And so there's a lot with that. I know that it's time to...
No, we're actually fine. I actually had another guest call in. So you're good.
I want to share a few things that are coming up, too.
Yeah,
when we have
let's just kind of finish that up, too, because we are everything that made us uniquely suited to serve the GMO industry as it stands also makes us uniquely suited to serve agriculture, sustainable, to be a kind of a sanctuary for bees, which are seeming to be very endangered around the world. Everything that created the uniqueness for them to come in here, would also serve so many other related industries.
Let's just explore being nice to these particular companies even.
Yeah.
And I know that there is some pretty dark history, and there is a tie to other elements of, you know, global corporations that is scary. But I always like to presume the best, and then we work with the worst if we need to. But if we were to presume the best, if this industry was to decide, okay, it's a research and development facility, and we could start to work to design crops that were as nutritious as could be and actually could be developed in vitalized soil, and that, like, instead of having these big million-dollar machines that are the sprayers, we really could have a whole lot of jobs there. There's a lot of different ways that we can start to adapt that. And if that happened in the breadbasket of the continental United States and South America, if we started to be the germinating element that took this big industry and started growing food that was good for the ecosystem and good for people, we could be the seed that changes the world in the most powerful ways. These companies are big, and they know how to innovate, and they have the capital, both financial and the collateral politically, to shift their weight. What if they shifted their weight 20%? The world is telling them that their product is now out of fashion.
You've made that statement twice, shift their weight 20%. What does that mean? Does that mean we're still having 80% of the industry as it stands?
No, it doesn't. When I mean, like, to shift their weight 180 degrees would be, like, they go out of business and they don't grow food anymore. Or, you know, if they did a radical shift, well, maybe they start making cars, right? So what they are is agricultural companies that really dominate the global food supply, right? So that other 80%, maybe they continue to have a very, very strong influence on the global food supply, but they grow food that people want to eat, you know? I mean,
okay. That's
like I know there are many people who say, well, they don't want that to happen, and that could be part of the conversation too, but how do we take where we're at and get to where we want to go in the most healthy way that we can get there with hurting it, taking as few casualties as we can? So people tell me that's completely unrealistic. There's people who feel, and that might be true.
What I hear you saying is you're open to actually working with them, whereas other candidates I've heard express, they got to go, just got to go. So you actually could see a more of a partnership setting.
Well, listen, yeah,
possibly.
And like when we're looking at some of these new crops or something like that, there's a whole lot of things that can happen that are good. And I like to at least leave it on the table for good to happen. And, you know, there's also something called contract law. And that's really, really powerful in the federal government. And what, you know, occupied or not, this is part of the United States. And so you can't just say, hey, go away. You can make business too expensive to operate. There's a lot of different ways. If there's the political will in the county to say, look, you need to shift your practices to be life-affirming, you know, or at least with this charter amendment, the thing with their goal is to say, all right, you can poison on the land that you're at. Just don't have that poison go off the land. And so I think that, you know, I'm open to having the conversation. I know I might get a lot of angry calls for having a kind heart towards the industry, but I think what people are going to find is I have a kind heart towards almost any challenge that we're going to be looking at, and I will always give people the benefit of the doubt till it is beyond reason to be able to make it work. And I have, in this process, met a lot of the people who work in these industries, and they, honestly, they would like to be doing a healthy practice. Don't think that they're not scared.
I'm curious, we're getting very close to the primary. What's your week look like for you? What types of meetings or functions will you be attending in the next couple of days?
Well, tonight there's the Chamber of Commerce meeting up here in Princeville at the Westin. That's happening at 5 o'clock. And the Kilauea Neighborhood Association is meeting tonight at 7, so I'm going to go there. I've been a very active part of KNA for a long time. But they are putting on these forums tomorrow, and it's really exciting to have North Shore forums coming up. We've had a Lihue one, and we had a West Side one. So Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, all the mayoral candidates, and then the District 14, which is kind of Kapa'a North. I guess there's a little piece of Wailua, like Wailua house lots north. So that will be Jonathan Ho'omanawanui and Derek Kawakami will be in there. On Thursday, the County Council Forum is going to be also at the Kilauea Elementary Cafeteria.
I want to jump in and let people know that can attend. We will be live streaming from KKCR during both of those events.
And thank you for having done that in all of these. And I don't know if it's going to be visually live streaming or not. But and then tomorrow I'm going to be at the council meeting where we are talking about this real property tax. And one of these things that might come up here is on Monday, the decision was made at the Arborist Commission to not save a tree in Kilauea, beautiful old mango tree. And that's another part of these complex issues. I've never liked where the parking lot is put there. You know, again, it becomes, all right, we get that disappointment that this really key tree is going to be cut down possibly, but I will continue to work with the developer to see if they can't see where that placement might be actually good for the tenants. Carlos, you and I have been in business together, and we understand the value of having green space, natural space where kids can play right in front of the building. And again, that particular developer, I think, has shown a really open heart. I have respect for that developer. I think that issue might come up too. So then people are going to see me out there waving sign, and I see some people have really, really big teams of people out there, and I'm still a little bit shy about asking people to come out and do that. But if you see me and you want to pull over and do it, so you can see my humble self, probably by myself or with a friend or two. Sometimes people pull over, and I really have enjoyed seeing the people who wave, and I learned so much watching. I know a lot of people who come from the mainland, they don't get that, why people do that. But it is ha-ha-ha-ha, it's humbling. And you see, like, the amount of, say, tourist cars to non-tourist cars. No problem, tourists. I love tourists, too. But you see who all lives here. You see what kind of work vehicles people are in, how many people are riding together deeply, how many people are friendly. And I'll tell you what, the south side and the west side are really kind and friendly, and they don't, many of them know me very well, and they're still waving at me, whether they probably agree with me or not. So south side, west side, aloha, thank you for your love and support.
It's very
and helping
interesting.
Me to feel okay, yeah, standing there on the side of the road by myself.
Well, as a driver, you do get to see who's there, who's standing up, who's holding a sign when the particular candidate might not be there. You know, I always have to put my head down when it's someone I'm not going to vote for because I feel bad. I don't, you know, but
I wave at everybody. It, you know, well, I do. I wave at everybody.
Some people I just can't. Other people I'll wave if I'm like, hey, I don't really like your politics, but I know you're a good person. Some people are like, wow, you know, I can't believe you're standing out here. And some people, you know, you just, there's a big bunch of people running. I was very excited. And, you know, it's sad. It comes out of contentiousness, and there's a lot of big issues coming up right now, GMO just being one of them. But it did bring a lot of people into the political process. Now, you did this stuff before you even ran for council.
Oh, I
had
did.
Any thought?
I've
you
been involved in meetings, and I was Mayor Bernard. I mean, excuse me, I like Bernard. We've been friends, but Brian Baptiste was my really, really good friend, and I was his sounding board, and I'm an extrovert. He's an introvert, on a hola to the end of the road. I was
his
shadow.
I think I had Portuguese soup at a function that you helped Brian Baptiste put together,
yeah,
at the Catholic Church down there in Hanalei.
Yes, and I have helped so many different candidates, but I've never paid attention. Now I look back and I think I should have paid better attention to how they actually executed all this stuff. I was just there helping, and but not taking leadership.
Real quick, I wanted to ask you, it's just about the top of the hour, so I'm going to say real quick, you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, and we're also K284AL in Haleiwa. And this is Community Supported Radio, so thank you to all you listeners who help us all the time in the various ways. We have Kauai. We started out with 2491, then it evolved. Then we've got stuff happening at the state level, but a lot of people are unaware that there's also a Trans-Pacific Partnership that might trump everything. How familiar are you with the Trans-Pacific Partnership as it might apply to 2491's initial germ all the way to where we are now?
As people who listen to this all the time, this is not just the TPP. There's several other ones even coming up behind it. It's like one hurricane after another of economic catastrophe that can come towards us. And so that's another thing I do feel that I bring to the table is having looked at these things, what I'm seeing as I'm trying to campaign is how much the council people have to stay looking at every little a local thing, but there's this very big stuff, and what I want to say that is a big piece, too, like I read, like, the International Monetary Fund's taxing times, their newsletters and different things like that, and there is something called a currency reset that is very much in discussion on the global stage, and that is an economic hurricane coming towards us.
Now, that's a nice way to say a one-world currency.
Well, yes, but there can be a lot of different ways that it can go. But like the United States asset to debt and liability ratio is out of balance for the strength that our currency has. So if they do a currency reset and we line up against our assets and our liabilities, we are not going to be top of the pile, and a huge amount of things will change. And that's another reason why I am very, very big on resilient behavior, very, very big on growing our own food. As we grow our own food, we have less trash needs, we have less car needs, and that economic hurricane can change all of our priorities just as much as did Hurricane Iniki, and I'll be prepared.
Yeah.
So I should say aloha.
Yeah, well, fantastic. It's always fun to talk with anyone running for any of the offices, either at the county, the state, or the national level, that have actually done their homework. And I can say that you've definitely done your homework. And do you have a number of people have questions about litmus test issues or broad issues they want to talk to you about?
652-4363, and they can look online at www.FeliciaCowden.com. And I'll be having a bunch of position statements up on there soon. They're all written. They're just been kind of waiting to go on. So I will. That'll be on there too.
So I hear you saying, no matter what, you still love the radio. So no matter what happens, you're going to be looking getting back in.
And I will continue. I will continue to help, elected or not. I will tell the people who have resistance to electing me for whatever reason, don't want a woman, don't want a small woman, whatever. I will be there for you, and that, you know, I will continue to crowdsource information. The thing that has really happened for me, both through social media and being on the radio, the listeners and the people out there has transformed my understanding of the world. We have so many bright people here, and I will always have an open door to listening to people. And I will especially have an open door to people who I don't agree with, because I think that most of us, when we have disagreements, is because we have different information. And so the more I get their information and the more they get my information, we'll probably come closer together in what our understanding is.
One last question, 1 minute or less. What is the most unexpected experience or thing you've learned or discovered in running for county council? What caught you off guard?
You know, that's actually hard to answer because I can't think of something that's really caught me off guard. I knew, like, I probably know 10,000 people pretty decently because I'm an extrovert and I've been in business where I really interface with people, been on the radio. So I thought, well, okay, that means there's 58,000 people I don't know. But there really is 58,000 people that I'm getting to know and I'm learning, and it is sometimes a little shocking to walk into an environment. I'm seeking places that I think, well, I haven't been there. I don't know about that. And I'm finding them. And it's humbling. It's really humbling. And so I appreciate everybody who does go out and vote. I just ask for one of your votes for county council. And I will work constructively and positively with anyone who I would be elected to sit with.
I learned a new word today. I think
is humility. And the stance in hula with the bent knees is ha-a-ha-a. You're standing in humility before nature and the divine.
What a wonderful thing for a politician to be coming from that position. So,
a policymaker, yeah. I'm not even a politician yet.
Yeah. Well, okay. Any politician. I just need to...
Because
it is humbling. And, it is humbling. You serve... You give up yourself and serve the greater good.
That's
so,
right.
Anyway,
so
we'll
much.
See what happens. And get in there and vote early. I can say that. That's a call to action for the whole county. Get in and vote early if
we
you can.
Have
we
a
might
big
have
storm.
A storm. Okay. And Felicia
Aloha.
Cowden, thank you so much. We've got another guest coming up right after a little bit of station identification and underwriting stuff. We'll be back after this.
Bali High Realty in Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell banker Bali High Realty also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply in Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos, and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Dove presents an intimate solo acoustic performance by Citizen Cope, Wednesday, August 13th at 8 p.m. at the Church of the Pacific in Princeville. All ages welcome. That's Citizen Cope, one night only, Wednesday, August 13th at the Church of the Pacific. More information online at dovepresents.com or by calling 635-5556.
Kauai Coffee. 100% pure Hawaiian, single-origin, GMO-free coffee. Grown and roasted here on the Garden Island, at retail locations island-wide on all the Hawaiian Islands, and at our estate on Highway 540 between Kalaheo and Ali'ali, where walking tours and coffee tasting are also available. More information and ordering online at kauaicoffee.com.
All right, we're back, and thanks again, Doug. You do great PSAs, buddy, and great underwriting. Gosh, you give great underwriting, Doug. Underwriting, by the way, for you listeners, is a way for, we're not a commercial station, but businesses can come on, and for a small amount of money, they actually get to put out a message. They can't really say, hey, we're the best, come shop at our sale, or anything like that, but they can kind of do a little bit of an informational data point. So thank you to the underwriters. They're a big part of allowing us to remain commercial free and all the good aspects of commercial free, meaning we're not beholden to any big businesses. We can take all calls and discuss all topics without fear of losing our advertising funding from anyone, because we're funded kind of by the people. Anyway, coming up next, we've got John Gibb. He's a local artist and all sorts of other cool stuff, but I was kind of fascinated by a project he was doing involving another one of our county candidates here on the island of Kauai. So with no further ado, I'll say, John, aloha. And let's see if that mic's working right there.
Yeah, let's see. Is that working?
Oh, you got a good radio voice. I like it already. All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself first, and then we can just jump in.
Cool. Well, to start off, this is the very first time I've actually been on the radio, so that'll be interesting. So if I jump around out there, guys, that's an apology on my part. But
well, you did say you were ADD, and I think we'll get along just great then, so don't worry.
Yeah. So, yeah, same thing. So basically, just like you said, Carlos, I'm an artist. I actually grew up over here on Kauai on the east side from about, like, 12 years old till I was about 21. I was over here. Went to Kapaha High. I mean, you know, had a few friends of mine I still get to hang out with, and then pretty much went to California, jumped around there, did a little bit of artwork and all that kind of stuff, learned some photo stuff and some video stuff, which is actually a part of this as well. I'll kind of explain in a bit. But, yeah, just kind of been exploring art and all that kind of stuff, and basically found over that travel and that piece of going through California and all that is I want to make things that help people. So that's the whole basis of, if you see anything with my name on it, it's always to help people. So I'm really stoked that I got to do this project with Dustin, which was a really cool, probably the most exciting piece I've done so far. So really excited about it.
I noticed your website, Who is John Gibb? I can't help but ask you because I read everything Ayn Rand wrote when I was young. Is that a, kind of an homage to Who is John Galt?
A little bit. I actually I had a friend recommend, I think it was a book. That, is there a book on that or something like that? There's a few different things.
Yeah. Atlas Shrugged, Fountainhead.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, Atlas Shrugged. So
drives some people crazy.
Yeah, I heard it's a really big book, but actually it's on the Amazon wish list right now, but I'm going to get that one next. But it basically came from a buddy of mine who kept saying, like, everybody, whenever he'd mention me or whatever, same thing. I know Felicia had mentioned, you know, extroverts and introverts. I've always been a little bit more of an introvert when I was younger, and now I'm actually, you know, same thing. I'm on a radio right now or the radio station with you, and I'm trying to go out and voice some of the things that I've kind of picked up along the years or observations. So I've always been really an introvert, and a lot of people never really, they're like, oh, do you know John Gibb or whatever? And it's always been, no, who is John Gibb? So it kind of stuck.
So that's a perfect segue into the art at hand we're talking about, and that's what fascinated me. I came across you in talking to Dustin Barca about his run around the island. He had come into the radio station a couple times, and somewhere along the line, somehow it got to me that you were working on kind of a large piece. So why don't you tell us what the motivation was, what the format is, etc.
Cool. So yeah. So basically, to start it all off, I had heard about Dustin's run for mayor, and in the sense of his actual physical run for mayor, you know, where he ran around Kauai and went around the Nepali and all that. And I started thinking, like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I've always really supported a lot of the viewpoints that Dustin has, and really trying to get back to something that's, you know, more sustainable and a better way of life, I felt, over here for Kauai. And I wanted to feel a way, try and feel out a way for me to help out with that. And basically, I'd been working a lot in, like, event-based art lately. And what I wanted to do, actually, was I went down and I got a really big, I think 11 by 8 canvas, just a rollout canvas. And I decided that on Dustin's run for mayor, as he's running around the island, I was going to take red dirt and different kinds of elements from over here on Kauai and set it in front of this big canvas and have him actually run over the top of it. And it would actually leave his mark of running for mayor on it. And from that point, we were going to take that canvas. It's done, actually, right now. The piece is actually done. And from there, I basically tied in a lot of his running points, which was, you know, sustainability and agriculture, as well as the use of our resources in a proper way. Same thing a lot of people know is his fight for, you know, against GMO to kind of keep our land and everything, you know, very clean and pristine for the next generation, which is what he's really fighting for, which is the kids, you know. And it has me really excited to be able to be a part of that. And like I said, this is, you know, strictly to help other people, and that's what I felt as an artist I could do the best on my part to help Dustin out, was to, you know, try and put this piece together and then, you know, see where it goes from there. So where we're going to go eventually from there is actually take it and try to auction off, and whatever proceeds there are going straight to the Ohana Foundation, just donations straight back to the community. And I think, let's see, looking at the video is just about done. Tomorrow, actually, at 12, we're going to be dropping the video where you guys can kind of see the process and a little bit of what he was doing as well. So it was a cool place. It was a lot of fun. I was really excited to be a part of it.
So is your artwork online? Can people check it out anywhere?
Right now, my actual website of just whoisjohngibb.com, and it's just J-O-N. There's no H in my name. And that's under, it's getting built right now, but the first piece that I'm actually really excited to launch it with is kind of why I was rebuilt the website, was to basically launch with this piece, which is, you know, signifying exactly what I want to do. Is I just want to help people out. I just want to help future generations and do whatever I can as a person to make the world a better place, I guess.
Now, you're 24 years old now?
Yes, I'm 24.
So what are some of the issues, you know, other than the obvious issues that's happening with ag and pesticide, et cetera, on this island, what are some of the other issues that are important to you, but for anyone running for any office in Kauai or at the state or national level?
Well, for me, to start that off in the sense of, like, to summarize it is, the world that we're in right now is becoming more and more transparent, which is a really good thing with what we have with the internet and all that, and basically being able to find a lot of information on your own. And what I've, you know, same thing being an introvert, is I kind of saw a lot of these things where people would, politicians more specifically, would say something and they would never follow up on it. And there's one thing that I've learned as a kid, that, you know, actions always speak louder than words. And right now, Dustin is, you know, his track record for what he says and what he goes out and does is super stellar. You know, he said he was going to run for mayor. He wants to show how hard he wants to fight for Kauai and the people, and he, you know, voiced it, and then he went out and did, you know, ran around the entire island, which I thought was pretty incredible. You know, that's a huge amount of physical and mental determination to think that he did that. You know, just makes me even more excited to be able to vote for him, you know, because I know what we want as a people he's going to listen to. He's right there at ground level, you know, with us. He shakes our hand, says hi. He's just there. He's just another person who's actually up there to help us out and, you know, make this a better place, hopefully.
And some other issues.
So sustainability, I feel, is a really big one, just because, as a lot of you probably know right now, if you guys went to the store today even or something like that and saw pretty much the run on the store that's going on right now, you know, a lot of all that stuff is shipped in, and that might just bring a little bit more light to what's going on. Is sustainability is a really big one for me. I think that, you know, everywhere in California over here, we should be able to take care of ourselves. You know, I feel like that's a good way to also encourage, you know, lines of work for other people. So sustainability. I also really feel that what Dustin's also fighting for on, you know, keeping as much of Kauai as possible as drug-free and giving people the tools to actually help heal them and, you know, not treat it as a criminal action, but sometimes it's an addiction. It's a physical addiction that people have. I feel like it's a really big one, too, being able to help people instead of incarcerating them to the extent where they can never actually turn their life back around and go back and contribute back to the world. So that's probably two of the big ones. And then same thing, the GMO is also a very big one as well for me.
Putting you on the spot, is running for a political office something you would ever consider after watching what's happened in this election? And, you know, there's a lot of novice politicians. A lot of them actually have been very active politically but never specifically run for office. But is that something that you could see as something you might want to do in the future?
It's really hard to even plot something out, you know, 6 months out. But right now, as a 24-year-old, you know, supposedly, man, I'm still learning. I'm a kid, and, you know, there's so much. I learn stuff day to day, let alone month to month, year to year. So, you know, maybe 15, 20 years down the road when I'm 40 and I have kids and I have a little bit more of a perspective on life. But right now, I think it's best for me just to kind of do whatever I can to, you know, help people out, or, you know, get people to vote, or, you know, bring more attention to what Dustin's doing or people I support. And that's where I think my strongest asset is right now, is I just, you know, want to go out and just do the grunt work of, you know, putting up 2x4s or whatever I got to do to help.
Well, we're going to invite you to stick around the studio and just keep talking. We'll take calls, see if anyone's got any questions for you.
Cool.
They disappeared. Nope. They left.
That's all right.
Only a few flashes. So when you are actually out there, I assume you're kind of hanging out in an age demographic of 20s to early 30s in general, not specifically.
Yeah.
But what is the level of involvement that you see amongst your friends and your peer group, your age group, et cetera?
Well, right now in my peer group and all that, I would say the level of knowledge, like, or wanting to attain the knowledge of actually what's going on is really big, where people are really starting to question, like, hey, you know, we want this. This is something I kind of noticed and I want to change. Like, same thing for, like, instance, sustainability, where people are really, you know, they don't want to necessarily work at a hotel. They'd rather be working on a farm. They're actually going out, attaining that knowledge, and figuring out how they can implement it, which is what I really feel like Dustin has done really well, too, where he saw something that he wanted to change. He went out, attained the knowledge, educated himself, and then he's made action on that after that. So I feel like there's a lot of people going out and seeking knowledge and then making action off of it. So there's a lot. I would say, you know, for them getting educated on the actual politicians and who they should really vote for and who at a state level or whatever the case is that best suits or best represents them, that's, everybody's getting really educated. That's what I would say.
Do you yourself have faith in the political system as it stands? Do you think it's going to evolve and get better? Is there a small party that thinks, hey, let's just, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater and refill the tub? But, you know, how do you, here you are looking forward to it. I wonder about all the kids that are just finishing college going, hey, wait a minute, we just took out all these loans. What job, you know, it seems like a lot of politics gets what it wants based on the money behind the candidate or the specific person, et cetera. So, you know, how do you look at that?
Well, I think, I mean, it's kind of obvious. I would like to think it's kind of obvious, but a lot of times, I feel right now in the world we're in, which is, you know, a lot of people kind of just get told what to do, you know, told who to vote for, or, you know, told by their parents, this is the best decision, go to school, all these different kinds of things. I went through school all my life telling me that, you know, a lot of people saying that I wasn't, you know, I failed literally every single art class I've ever been at. And I just definitely feel that basically there's a lot of people that tell you what to do. And right now in this time, day and age, I think people are learning what to do more and more. And I think that's going to implement hopefully into a very, like, a revolutionary time, but in a peaceful manner, not like, you know, pitchforks and fire and stuff, but just like, hey, you know what, vote for Dustin. You know, this guy's here to implement and actually change things for the better in the way that we want, instead of just saying, all right, well, I voted for Obama in 2008, or, you know, whatever we might say, and then, well, he just kind of went out the window. I don't know what happened, you know, when instead of just, you know, picking the right person who's going to implement that change in our nation, in our country, and, you know, hopefully make it a better place, and then in turn make the world a better place.
It's funny. My wife was on the other side of the island today, and I heard some, I think it was Allman Brothers in the background, and I said, hey, that's great music, old people music. And I was joking. I'm 53. My wife's 55. You're 24. You're literally less than half my age. Where do people your age get their information these days? It's a very new thing. Social media is very big. Mm-hmm. Do you do it out in public and like at dance concert things, or is it mostly social media like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc.? How do you go about informing yourself and then finding out the data bits passed on by other people in your milieu, so to speak?
So a lot of that, I mean, there's always different processes. Sometimes it's just word recommendation from around, like, hey, go check out this video, or, you know, check this, like same thing, that the internet's such an incredible thing now, where there's so much transparency that's coming out, that it's really showing the world, you know, who's a really good person, who's going to change these different things, or whatever the case is. But a lot of it's basically through friends to start, and then that kind of leads down a rabbit hole sometimes of, you know, on YouTube or on Google or different things, or different just pieces of history that, you know, you'll find a tidbit of information and be like, oh, I wonder what happened in this event or whatever. And then you go and Google that, and that leads to, you know, 20 other videos and a bunch of different stuff. So I would say it's a combination. I would say it's probably a third, a third, a third, probably a third just directly through friends and social media. Let's like lump that together, I would say. The other third is Google, and the other third is pretty much YouTube is the biggest, the other biggest source of information. So I'd pretty evenly amongst those three. And then sometimes you'll lean one way more than the other, depending on how much information is coming up.
How much trust do you have in the structure of this country, the banking system, the Federal Reserve monetary system, and the political system in general, and even mainstream media? Is there a trust? Is there a feeling like this is a country you can get behind? Would you say you feel embarrassed at being a citizen of this country at times? Where are you at with that?
I'm actually extremely proud to be an American, in the sense that I was our nation, and, you know, me and, you know, Carla, I feel like we're in a brotherhood or sister or whatever. We're all a big family, basically. We are all founded on these really incredible action implementing people, where they crossed the ocean, you know, they decided their government wasn't doing them well enough, to the point where they left a country and went to an unknown world, where a lot of friends and family, they took so much action that they, you know, so much risk that they really wanted that change. And I feel that, sorry, I kind of spaced out on that one. So,
you said you're proud to be an American.
Yeah, I'm very proud to be an American.
I'm asking you a whole range of questions.
Yeah, sorry.
You said you're ADD, so I'm trying to see if I can.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's the first time being on the radio, so there is.
You know, you're doing
excitement.
Great, and you have a great radio voice too. But no, you're a very articulate young man, and I'm impressed at so many young people stepping forward, both running for office and supporting running for office, or approaching it through other forms of activism, or even, you know, promoting healthy food choices, etc. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting time, and it's a crazy time.
It is.
Do you pay attention to, now that we've kind of, you know, we've got that you're supporting Dustin, mm-hmm. we've see your mode of art and, but so I'm just, as a younger person, I'm trying to, you know, maybe peel back the layers a little bit. Do you follow what's happening with the world, with the monetary system, with BRICS Nation, Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Russia, the U.S., the borders, and, you know, what do you move by, right? What would you say your greatest hope and your greatest fear is as a person your age?
My greatest hope is I really feel that this world is coming together to become finally a better place. So many people are making so many people are making better action. I feel like, if we say, you know, so to touch back on that, the monetary system, like you were saying, like things definitely need to be reestablished. I think the way that the Federal Reserve works and all that is, you know, there's the politicians that are, you know, the politicians that founded our nation, our founding fathers, they, you know, they literally have quotes and sentences that say, you know, that's more dangerous to us than a standing army, you know, that's just hanging out.
I just read that yesterday.
Yeah, so it's there's things like that, and it's like, all right, well, this dude seemed like he was pretty smart, you know. I don't know everything, but I know that he was a smart guy, and his track record looks pretty good because we're still here as a nation, you know. So I think things like that can apply to it. I also think that where we're going as a country and as the world itself is, I think it's a really great place. I think there's definitely controls that are trying to be implemented on things like free speech, which is really a scary time, you know, especially when they start trying, if they start trying to regulate the internet, I think is a very scary one, where other countries actually do that and essentially censor information or, you know, replace it with information that they've drawn up, which can basically lead people's beliefs and stuff like that to a different way. I really like how the internet's very it can be very unbiased if you know how to filter the things out. There's two very polar opposites of it, but if you can learn how to essentially filter what's, you know, what's backed by events or real facts, then you can really get a lot of information. I hope the world can find that more and more.
Right before I left the air after 15 years, about a year and a half ago, took a little sabbatical, I had a friend of mine. I actually was around when he was almost born, Sally French's son, Corey French. And he's moved over to Hilo. He's going to school in the Big Island. And we were talking about youth and his perspective. He's just about your age, musical artist, travels around the country. And I said, you know, what about all this stuff's going down? And he said, you know what, we young people can smell BS in propaganda and the internet. And you just said, once you learn to filter it out, sometimes it's overwhelming for me, but I notice, and maybe it sounds like you were kind of in agreement with that, that there is almost a sixth sense now that this new generation has, going, you know, that's BS, that's BS, that's authentic. I don't agree with it, but it's authentic. I agree with that. That's, you know, so it's almost like developing another sensory organ, being able to disseminate, you know, what's, you know, propaganda from what's reality.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is, but do you feel that's true?
I definitely feel that's true, because I literally haven't, you know, I'm really stoked to say that I've, like, convinced my mom to stop watching, like, Fox News and all these different things that really play off a lot of, you know,
fears.
Just basically just fears, you know. It's constantly fears are very, like, if you turn it on, like, you can expect to turn Fox on and somebody is yelling, you know. So it's like, how can you possibly, I know as a person, like, I can't have a conversation with someone and get them to view points or anything like that if they're, you know, if their blood pressure is high or elevated and they're heated. You know, you can't really, that's the same thing that can potentially, you know, start an argument can lead to a push and a shove, and then a shove can lead to a punch, you know. And same way, if people get scared and riled up, I think that can really lead to, you know, like something that I feel like, let's say, like the Patriot Act or whatever, people got very riled up to where they were very willing to basically say, yeah, fine, look through whatever, just find the terrorists. We gotta go, just, you know, look through everything. And that was a very big thing. That if everybody would have really slowed down and took a breath and said, okay, we really need to implement action, but let's really, really look at what we need to implement in just a very calm manner. And that's when you can get some clarity and calmness in this, you know, very noisy world. You can really implement very sharp and precise action in the right way that are, you know, saving energy and hopefully, like, saving people's lives. It can eventually
work. You're 24 years old?
24 years old.
Okay, who is John Gibb, GIBB.com? You want to describe your piece of art really quick? They're going to go there eventually, but what did you do? And then we'll wrap it up in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Cool. So, yeah, to basically go over the piece, what we did is I knew that Dustin was running for mayor, basically, and I thought, okay, well, this is really cool. It's something that's very different, where he's physically going to go and run for mayor around Kauai, which is pretty insane. So basically we just... I thought of getting a big piece of canvas, and I wanted to have the mark that he's making on our society and on our generation, basically. I wanted to show that in a physical form. So I took this big canvas. It wasn't stretched or anything, and I just rolled it out on the ground in front of where he was running and put red dirt in front of it and some water. So it was essentially red dirt mud. And he, every time he ran and stepped, he left marks of what he was doing, his run for mayor. And I did that with Dustin in a few different places in his run for mayor, and just kind of drove in the truck way in front of him and then throw it in front of where he's running. And then after that, I also, knowing Dustin fought in MMA and stuff like that, we decided to wrap his punching bag in the canvas itself. So we had him actually fighting for, you know, what the core and piece of it was. I wanted to show that he was fighting for us as a people. So we had him dip his hands in the same thing, red dirt and paint and all that, and basically went to town on the bag, left his mark there too, just you know, fist marks and all that. And then from there, I basically stretched the canvas, turned it into like an 11 by 6 or 11 by 8 canvas, and then started painting it with his core running points, which is sustainability, our future generations, and then...
So this is full contact art.
Yeah, full contact. It's an event-based art, I guess.
Event-based art. I love it. Well, John Gibb, I'm highly impressed. I'd actually like to invite you back to the show.
Thank you.
To come in, maybe, you know, see what happens here. And, you know, beyond the political season, you got a great mind on your shoulders, good heart, and a good head. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. It was a pleasure to be over here.
And once again, whoisjohngibb.com. You could probably just type in J-O-N-G-I-B-B into one of your search engines and put Kauai on it. It'll probably pop up if you can't remember the whole thing. But whoisjohngibb.com. And thank you so much, John.
Yeah. And then lastly, too, one other thing is that piece we're actually going to be, I don't know if I got to mention that or not.
No, you didn't. Yeah.
Basically, what we're doing is with this piece, it's going to be 100% of the proceeds. We're basically going to try and auction off 100% of the proceeds are going to go straight to the Ohana Foundation, which Dustin helps out with. So that piece of art isn't just going to be for nothing. We're going to, you know, take photos of it, make shirts of it or whatever. We're just, all the donations are going straight to the Ohana Foundation. So
Okay. Just
want to throw that out there before we
got a couple calls. They might be wanting to ask you something.
Yeah.
So if you want to stick around for a second, go ahead, caller, and thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, I got a question.
Sure.
And the question is if the guest can correlate free speech and having as its opposition the crime of sedition.
The crime of sedition. Okay.
You got my drift.
Yeah.
That's all I need to say. So if somebody could speak to that issue. In other words, how much can I say without being accused of a crime that's anti-governmental, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, it's, I mean, as an artist, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I would say same thing. I went through school, you know, ADD or whatever. Suppose I was just doing art the whole time I was in school, and I would always have teachers and all that stuff telling me what to do, to the sense where I got in trouble. And I feel like now it can kind of get to that point as well, where I can kind of, you know, possibly end up on a list or something like that.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to, I would love to, you know, make some more art. That's really, that's definitely on the way. You know, all the viewpoints I have, I feel can, you know, they represent me and my friends and all that, and what we really want to see change in the world. And same thing, I don't want to end up on a list, you know, I'm sure with a lot of other people, in the sense that we might be considered dangerous or something like that because I painted the wrong kind of paint. That starts really echoing a lot of scary points.
Yeah, in other words, vocally, you may have entertained something that, mm-hmm. you know, you could be on a list.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting.
In today's world, being a crime.
Yeah, I'm sure. I probably am possibly already on a list with the stuff that I look into and stuff like that. Historically,
I think art by its very nature is a seditious act. Art by its very nature is often a seditious act, and a lot of times we kind of covertly ourselves depend on the artists, the poets, and the musicians to say what we're afraid to say.
Yeah, I definitely, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with Banksy out there. He's been really popularized and all that, but he did a lot of work over in Gaza, and which is a big point right now, over in Israel as well, and it raised a lot of eyebrows, and it was cool because it was just popular enough to where it was able to crack, you know, the mainstream media, but at the same time, he was really pushing some very serious political points and being, I guess, you know, seditious or whatever the case. He was basically hacking the system to best get his voice out without them even knowing it till after tour. They can't
now
pull it back.
Those of you who aren't familiar with Banksy, there's a great documentary. I think it's Meet Me at Through the Gift Shop or something like that.
Exit
Through the Gift Shop?
Something like that.
But anyway, Banksy, in more kind of common knowledge, would be the artist behind a lot of the Obey propaganda clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
He does not own that company, but they actually, the founders, really enjoyed his political art and his kind of rage against the machine, so to speak. But his style of art is, it's almost guerrilla art. Gigantic pieces on buildings and very harsh truths, which you can disagree or agree with, but out there kind of as a guerrilla artist and often on the wrong side of the law, running from the law too. But very intriguing artist too. So
he's a cool artist. It's cool. What's also really cool is his art is the style of his art is very not easily replicated. I mean, I don't want to take away from what he does or anything like that, but in the sense of where you can go onto Photoshop, you know, put a couple photos together and make a stencil piece, you know, print out a stencil piece and go and voice your opinion legally, if you want to say it that way, whatever. But people are putting it out there, you know, that style of art is more and more present now.
Yeah, it's always interesting because this country was formed in an act of sedition with guerrilla warfare, which could be conceived as terrorist to the former yeah. status quo, and yet, you know, we have our incredible TSA, and, you know, it's we're an ironic country, as life on Earth often is. We've got another phone call.
Oh, cool.
Let's see if they want to ask you a question or change the topic. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for holding.
Hey.
Hey.
I see plenty of people out there panicking.
Okay.
Okay, no need, you know.
Oh, panicking about the Isabel?
Oh, gas lines and buying out water and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, good to be prepared. No need to panic.
Get plenty of beer and dry rolling paper.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, my wife was 7 months pregnant during a Niki. We were up in the by Tony's mini market. I think it's Pu'uka'a. And we ended up getting to know so many neighbors, and it was probably some of the best. Before having kids here, I would say it was the high point of my Kauai experience, just seeing how Kauai shined during that time. So, yeah, no need to panic, but it's great to be prepared, too, because we live in a very isolated little pocket of the world, so.
Yeah, so yeah. Make sure you stock up with the beer and the rolling paper.
Okay, caller, thanks.
Hello.
Thanks, yeah, it is 5:35, and it's time to open the phone lines up. If John wants to stick around, guy, what a pleasure to have you in here, John. We'll just start taking phone calls.
Yeah.
We're going to
roll
as fast as we can, so 2 minutes or less, depending on how big the traffic jam behind your phone call is. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air. Aloha, what's on your mind? This might be a direct call from the wind. It's only happened twice. It's very special when it happens because it's the wind. 826-7771. I think we got a what's known as a butt dial. But anyway, 826-7771. We've got 25 minutes left, and you could talk about anything you'd like, any candidate you'd like, what you'd like to see happen. You want to talk about the hurricane that was downgraded to a tropical storm. I did get a early voting reminder once again up until Thursday from 8 a.m. to 4 at the historic county council building, the old one where they put up all the lights during the holiday season. You do need ID, and the last day is Thursday. Also, National Weather Service issues potential flash flood warning for Wednesday and Thursday, and it looks like the storm has been downgraded. It's not Isabel, it's Hurricane Isel, and they're calling for that to lose its structural integrity and get downgraded to a tropical storm, which could still bring flash flooding. Some of the very interesting things happening is there's another storm right on its heels, so we could have a saturated ground, which could cause a little bit more flooding, etc. But anything you want to talk about, we've got 25 more minutes, and coming up after that is jazz. So 826-7771. If you want to, you got any place you need to go? You want to hang out? Or,
I'm good. I was going to say, I mean, same thing. I tried to write down some notes before to like try and keep myself on track because I'm. I swear it's like
notes are great, but I'll tell you, there's nothing like just talking from the heart.
Yeah.
When you dump the script. And
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Let it
totally. Or more, not notes, but just like stuff that I thought was really interesting. Also over here was I really feel politically, as I was, you know, as we were talking about earlier, just Dustin has run for mayor and all that kind of stuff. I just wanted to definitely say I finally just got back over here from being over in California about like 8 months ago or something like that. And the amount of eyes that are on the world or that are on over here on Kauai is actually a lot more than I think we perceive. So I think if we can really come together and implement action over here, I think it can kind of be a template for other people to kind of go and implement that themselves.
Great point. Got a lot of calls coming through. If you've got a candidate that you have not heard mentioned, any one of them, if you love one of the candidates that has been mentioned, if you want to give them a shout out for any reason, who you'd like to see elected or not elected, phone lines are wide open, and it doesn't matter who it is, you're going to get our total support because we're just here to listen. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Hey, I think we got you before. That's better.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Aloha. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Just awesome show. Great show. It's Eric right now. Sorry I couldn't make it in. I'm getting ready for the tournaments. Need to put the phones down a little bit better.
I miss you. Can you tell?
I know, right? Jump.
I usually have Eric Cannon, my co-host, helping co-produce the show and running the phone. So we missed you, Eric. But anyway, thanks for calling in. Anybody you want to shout out to out there?
You know, Dustin Barca. I hope everyone puts in the vote for him. He's a great guy. Felicia, it's great listening to you on the air. Hope everyone puts in the right vote, too. But I just want to say, I hope everyone calms down storms. And I don't know if it's a bad thing, but I'm almost hoping that it gets bigger and bigger and it's another Hurricane Aniki. Because truthfully, as you're saying, you had some great times with Hurricane Aniki, and I think it was a blessing to the island because this island would be completely different without it. So, I don't know. Maybe it's time for another big hurricane.
You know, that's a weird statement, Eric, but I think a lot of people feel that sometimes they just like to see things shook up. I could say we completely lost our business, and we had been in off the island on business in Indonesia the week before the storm, and we had a weird thing with our insurance company. We'd always had incredible insurance. We ended up losing our business completely that we'd had for 5 years and going bankrupt. We lost our land. We lost everything, started over completely and no insurance. Ouch. And it was still one of the best times of my life. I just love it. So I hear what you're saying. I don't wish injury or economic hardship to anyone, but there is something about pulling together when stuff like that happens. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I just like slowing down the tourism a little bit. You know, we need tourism, but I don't want it to take over the whole island. So anyways, great show. Aloha. Thank you so much. And great guest. Love Felicia. And what was that other guest you had, John?
John Gibb. He's still here.
John Gibb. Great having you on the air. Wish I could have been in there to talk with you. But aloha. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Eric. One of the co-hosts of Kauai Soapbox. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Carlos. I'm a little bit confused. So is Saturday's election off?
No, it's not off, but you can just go vote at the county building because Saturday's election could be off. It could be impacted by flash flooding, or the storm could be re-upgraded back to a hurricane and take a little bit more of a north turn a little bit earlier. It doesn't look that way.
Have they even discussed maybe postponing it to a different date?
Well, they just have it open.
So many people that have to go to Lihue from, all sides of the
that
island.
That sounds like a giant traffic jam now that I think about it. I was stuck in that yesterday. So, I think they're doing the best they can. And, you know, it's different from an absentee ballot. You can actually go in and do early voting. And I guess they're just saying if you can do it, then get in there and do it. So,
yeah, and that's tomorrow only.
It's tomorrow and Thursday. Today, too, till 4, but, of course, we've already passed that time. But you just need an ID, your local ID, and assuming you're already registered. So, it's just an additional thing to help the voters, actually.
Okay. Because I didn't know. I thought maybe they just postponed the whole thing and whatever, you know. And after Hurricane Aniki, my life was hell, so.
Yeah. I apologize.
I'm having a good time.
I know the voice, but hey, we were in hell. We were a 7-month-old baby waiting in those lines. My poor wife was eating 5 MREs a day. We didn't know they were 3,000 each, so her fingers swelled up to like little Vienna sausages, and she got over 200 pounds. We could push her, and she would roll right over back to her feet.
But
we didn't know how many calories were packed in those things.
Neighbors got together, and their meat was flying out, and they had big barbecues, and I had my 3 kids, and we were all vegetarians.
There was a lot of meat flowing. I want to say, by the way, thank you to Sharon and Ray Laton, because our house got knocked down in the first half of the hurricane before the eye wall hit, and then we ran down the street to Sharon and Ray's house, and my wife, who I said was 7 months pregnant, climbed under a mattress, and I was out peeking around the deck. I actually saw a dog fly by, and I saw a basketball pole blow over. So it was, and our shop was down right next to Country Kitchen. It was completely, it literally was bleached, clean, white cinder blocks. That's all there was. Right now it's right next to Hemingway's. That was completely gone. And
I was unemployed after Aniki too.
Yeah.
So it was no fun for me, but we made it, and you know, you had an ocean view wherever you drove around.
It's amazing how fast the tree tunnel came back too. But anyway, hopefully most of us are prepped.
And aloha to everybody, and thanks for the info.
All right. Yeah, we have 15 minutes left. Anything you want to talk about? Great guest in the studio, John Gibb. Who is johngibb.com? Some art that he was inspired to do. Because he was really enjoying the perspective of one of the candidates, Dustin Barca. Happy to take your calls. You want to talk about the hurricane? Want to talk about the Thursday, Friday downgrade flash flooding? Any of your favorite candidates? Anything else happening in the world? I want to thank everybody who came up to me in between last week's show and this one. It was very, very very tough water to try to navigate in an unbiased fashion talking about some of these things. And I'm really committed to not trying to drive the show myself, but to just be open and do a little air traffic control as long as I'm in here. So thank you to those people who came up and just said, you know, hey, thanks for that show. It was a tough one. Those of you who know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. Anyway, 826-7771. We'll keep taking those calls for another 15 minutes. And the other thing is I have a broken left hand, so that's I didn't think of that. I'm trying to run the board with my left hand, and I broke my last two fingers. I'm in a little bit of a cast right now, so it's making it interesting. Eric, where are you? Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes. I want to know what we're going to do on the island about the wild boar that are flying around. Well, flying around. That are invading our property. And do any of the people that are running for office realize how bad it is? I've been attacked twice.
Oh, you've actually been attacked?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in fact, there's three of them out in my yard right now, and I can't even go out and do my laundry.
And you're sure those are not D.C. politicians visiting the island? No, terrible thing to say, but I didn't say any party. There are companies that will come out, and I don't even think they charge anything, and I think they work in conjunction with DLNR and the county. I'm not exactly sure if some Akamai listeners hearing, they can maybe direct us, but they will come, and if you have an invasive or abusive wild boar, they will deal with it, and by that they mean one way or another. Hopefully the meat goes to good use. That's going to offend some people out there. But that's a great question, and I wish there was candidates in here in the studio right now to see if they were able to address it. But there are, right in Kapa'a, right as you go by that Kapa'a Farmers Market,
yes,
by the skate park.
I know exactly.
Okay, you know that little sign that says wild boar eradication. I don't know if they charge.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's free. I'm not going to say their name because then it would be a commercial, but anyway.
Correct.
Yeah, I've never heard that, though. I did have a friend surrounded
up here,
by
them. I mean, I've heard in Hanama'ulu, it's been bad. I'm up in the homesteads, and after it gets dark, I don't even want to go out to my car.
That's some serious boars. That's some serious boars. Well, you know what?
They're over 100 pounds.
Let's. Why don't you call about that at the beginning of the show next week, and we could probably do a little 10 or 15 minute segment on that. Because that's if they're kind of surrounded, if you can't leave your house, you've got a situation.
They're really getting smarter.
Well, no, a lot of people up here do.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Any other issues? Any candidates you like?
I don't want to name, but she works for the police department. So, you know, I called the police department and I said, I feel stupid calling you. And she said, no, you're not stupid. Hold on. And she called, you know, she came back on the line and said, oh, yeah, all of my coconut trees are gone.
Wow. So this is a big problem. I've seen them run around the North Shore, but not too much. There's a lot of bacon lovers up here that have their permits, and I think that they know not to show their boorish face.
Oh, they just walk down the street like they're going shopping.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's call in next Tuesday on that, and we'll talk about it. That's a very interesting topic.
Yes.
Thanks,
and
caller.
I think that our candidates should start standing up for, you know, getting this eradicated. Because it's ridiculous. If you go on the internet, you'll even see how Kauai has been overcome by wild boar.
I will go home and check that out tonight.
I know, and good luck. You know, I can't even get my groceries out of the car once I get home.
That is crazy.
If they're in the yard.
Well, I got a couple other calls I want to get to before the end, but I do encourage you to call back next Tuesday, and maybe I'll have a little bit more background research done on it, and we can talk about it a little bit.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, caller. I love that. That is a call out of left field right there. A hostage situation, some wild boars, three of them, and she can't go get her groceries out of her car. Interesting. Caller, what's on your mind? Hello? Hello, caller? Interesting.
All right. Well, I think, let's see, we've got probably 10 more minutes.
Hello, caller?
Well, you know, you could build a castle and put a moat around it with a drawbridge, you know, for those boar. Even though I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not trying to be hurtful because I agree with the lady. You know, it's a big problem in Hawaii, all the wild boar. I mean, she's right. You know, the city of Kauai needs to deal with it.
Maybe it could
and
be,
I do give her my sympathies, you know. But anyways.
All right. Well, I got more calls lining up and 8 minutes left. Do you got anything specific? Oh, he's gone. All right. John is in for Jazz with John, and I've got him so loaded up. I've actually got every computer thing loaded up for the next 3 hours. I'm on the ball. John, some great jazz coming up next. What's on your mind, caller?
Hey, I was just going to say I could help her out. I got a couple of traps I could lay in her yard.
Oh, she'd probably love that. Now, trapping boar, does that fall under the same domain as hunting them with a long arm? Or are you able to trap with less government oversight than you are if you were actually hunting them with a bullet-firing weapon?
I mostly bow hunt.
Okay.
And I have to be on ag land, and it has to be a certain size.
Is there a season on or off if there are abusive boars on private ag land, or is that all year round?
No, you can get an eradication permit, or you can get information. But I just put up a non-invasive trap. I don't snare. I just put a closed door trap. The pig walks in. And,
now, would I be correct in assuming you don't charge for that, but you would take the animal?
Correct, and I can either harvest them there, or I can harvest, you know, take them away and.
Do you want to put your number out to the woman in case she's listening?
Sure, my name's Chris, and my number is 635-5200.
635-5200, and that is Community Radio in action. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, we got rid of two pigs in Hanapepe Valley yesterday that were attacking the goats.
Wow, so, they're aggressive.
I was going to joke before and say, you know, up in Hanapepe Heights, we'll have a pig roast if we lose power. Because there's a bunch in the fridge right now.
As someone that is kind of rubbing up against this element, the trapping, hunting, and eradication, do you see this season as different than any others? Is it the weather, El Nino year, anything like that?
You know, they're hard to find in the mountains, but they're easy to find around communities.
Yeah,
you know, I'm on the west side, and they're all over the place. There was a giant one at the tree tunnel that was dead, and I see them growing. They follow the food, so she must have something fruiting or something that's drawing them to her.
Something
property.
Tasty. Chris, you want to say your number one more time?
808.
Yeah.
635-5200.
And you do not charge, so I feel fine saying that over the air. Thanks, Chris.
Yep. Take care. Aloha, guys.
Aloha. 826-7771, about 7-8 minutes left, and then Jazz with John, some great jazz music after this. What's on your mind, caller?
Well, great. I'm just pondering the election coming up and everything.
Okay.
And I was wondering if I'd like to put a call up to Mayor Carvalho to explain to me what happened with Gasgate, where that money went and everything. He took the Fifth Amendment on that, and he never did quite explain it. I mean, there must be some voters who are interested in reelecting him. But he took the Fifth Amendment, and by some laws it says that he's not eligible for office anymore. Maybe we could vote for him and like that, but if he could explain himself why he took the Fifth, where the money went to, it would you know, comfort me a little bit to him being an honest politician anyway.
All right, caller. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The caller was questioning what was known as Gasgate on the island of Kauai, and if any Akamai callers are out there and want to comment on that, feel free. We've got about 7 minutes left. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm calling about the pigs again.
Okay.
You know, it's really sad because I had, like, 10 beautiful apple banana trees growing. And they're gone. And whenever I'm cooking dinner, they come up out of the mountain.
You must be a good cook.
Absolutely.
All right. Did you get his number?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, so that was that you that called earlier?
Yeah.
Look at that. Perfect. And no charge. And so hopefully you guys hook up and... feel free to donate a little bit of bacon to KKCR. We love bacon.
Well, the problem is that we had a neighbor who was feeding them.
Oh, boy. You know, they are very intelligent animals, and an argument could be said that they have a right to be here, too. It's just when they get invasive and abusive and or even dangerous. So.
But I thought it was just up here. But I understand even in residential areas where there's you're not even up in the mountains.
I saw just about 3-4 weeks ago, I saw about 15, two or three alphas and about probably 12 betas falling around right down in Kilauea, right by Kilauea Farms, just right off the road, like a herd of goats or cattle. It was amazing. Anyway, I've got a few other calls, so you got Chris's number, and I'd love to hear if you guys connect and something good comes out of it next week.
Great, thanks.
All right, caller. 826-7771. I have time for one or two more calls, possibly. We're going to do the county council report. And, okay, here we go. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, aloha.
Yeah, you made it. That was quick.
Oh, gosh, it was instant. Right on. Well, blessed be. I'm just calling up here from Anahola Bay.
Okay.
And feeling really grateful to be on Kauai. And wanted to let everyone know who doesn't know that the ancient Hawaiian people consider Anahola to be where energy is birthed to planet Earth. So any human spirit coming to the Earth births through this portal before, let's say, oh, that's not matter. Hey, aloha. Okay, we don't have much time, Dee. So that's really powerful. Then when the Dalai Lama came here before he was shared that with them, he also recognized Anahola as a birthing portal. So every time I come here, I live in Kapahi, but when we come here, I feel so grateful that I can come here and reset myself and rebirth. And I just wanted to share that with the island because another part of how special this island is when you're driving on the east side and going up to the north shore and you see oceans of green trees and beautiful, pristine ocean, that jewel of Kauai that we all love, and just that we can really co-create this beautiful place together and protect her. And so definitely want to support Burka. I think it would be an amazing miracle for us to elect him into office and show the world that we care about this island. And really, that's pretty much that, and the military and a few other hot topics are the most important right now to get those GMO companies to hopefully just get them off the island completely, but of course for them to tell us what they're spraying, these thousands of gallons of chemicals that are going daily onto our beautiful island and polluting our water and air. Okay, so I just want to put that prayer out for the island that we can live in a beautiful way on this earth. Okay, you want to say aloha?
Aloha. Thanks so much. Thanks so much. Hi.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha. All right. Next generation calling from Anahola, Keakua country. Go ahead. You're our last caller of the show.
Hi, am I on the air?
You are. You have a minute. You're our last caller.
Carlos, this is Derek Kawakami.
Hey, Derek. Thanks for calling in. Boy, I've been putting it out every week. You should have called in weeks ago.
I know. You know, I just wanted to respond to the lady who called about the wild boar problem. It's actually a huge problem in the state of Hawaii. And we actually funded the Rain Follows the Forest program. And it's a fencing program to try and push the feral pigs out of our watersheds because we found out that that is one of the most destructive things for our watersheds.
You mean Giardia lepto type stuff or just degradation of the side of the streams?
Oh, it's just total degradation. If you were to go up there and see the difference of the fenced areas that are protected and everything else, it looks like a nuclear bomb went off. And, you know, a guy that knows a lot about it is Nikolai Barca. He actually works up there and helps to push these feral pig populations down out of our watersheds. The other thing that's going to pop up very soon is you've probably seen these cute little green parakeets flying around. They're slowly venturing out towards the North Shore. They've been decimating lychee farmers' crops.
Wow.
But what we found out from the Hawaiian Basin Species Council is they're slowly bringing albizia seeds up into the watershed. So all of that work that's being done is slowly being eroded by these invasive species.
These cute little parakeets are actually invasive species. And, Derek, while you're on the phone, you might want to tell people how you're involved with politics here. We've got about 30 seconds left.
Oh, I mean, I'm the representative of the 14th district, the most beautiful district in the state of Hawaii, and I was a former council member, and I was also the former second vice chair of the board of directors for KIUC, and I was a chair of the strategic planning committee when we set that goal of 50% renewable, which is above and beyond the state's goals. And it's a pleasure to serve you folks. I love you folks.
All right. Well, good luck, and we'll find out what happens next Tuesday, and carry on. Thanks, Derek. Thanks for calling about that information, too. So there is who would she talk to about this if she wanted to call somebody?
Well, she would probably have to call that gentleman that called in.
Okay.
That could help her track it.
And if she wanted to look at a higher level, like a more of a state or county governmental thing, who would she talk to?
Oh, I would go talk to people at DLNR.
DLNR, okay.
Especially if you're a farmer, you might ought to talk to the Department of Ag and DLNR and see if you can get some assistance, because some of the farmers are just getting pounded by these pigs.
All right. Well, thanks for your service, Derek, and good luck in the elections, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, Carlos.
All
thanks,
right.
Everybody.
Aloha.
Bye.
Jazz with John next. A little music fading into the county council report. Thanks to John Gibbs, Felicia Cowden, and all the callers. And who is this? I was going to leave John with a little bit of music, but too late. A little blues. But we're just going to head right to the county council so he can settle in. Jazz with John next. You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea.
Hello, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of August 4th. There will be a council committee meeting and a special council meeting on Wednesday. The committee meeting is at 9 a.m. and the special council meeting is at 10:30 a.m. And both meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the meeting agendas. For the committee meeting, the Planning Committee has on their agenda Bill 2461 Draft 1 regarding amendments to the Shoreline Setback Ordinance, and this was deferred from the 2nd of July. The Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Council Chair Farrell for the county engineer to provide an update on the Ala Kalana Kalmauka Street off-site drainage area and the efforts of the Public Works Department to address reported problems that occur after heavy rain, and this was deferred from July 16th. The Committee of the Whole will consider Bill 2547 related to the issuance of general obligation bonds for the county and related matters. A public hearing was held on this on July 23rd. For the special council meeting, Council Chair Fafaro and Council Member Kagawa transmit for council consideration a resolution urging the council and the mayor's administration to hold a non-decision-making informational workshop to discuss the changes in Chapter 5A of the county code relating to real property taxes. The resolution is to discuss the need to hold the workshop relating to the changes in the real property tax structure to include but not be limited to real property tax exemptions, tax on use, real property tax rates, and the implications of the repeal of the permanent home use tax limits, the assessment and assessed value of real property in the county, and potential real property tax reform to address increases being experienced by property owners and educational efforts that have occurred and are planned for the future. This is also a formal resolution on the meeting agenda. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, Kauai's community radio station. And stay tuned for Jazz with John coming up next. We've got a great show. Jazz with John is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with these fine underwriters: Kauai Coffee, the Dolphin Restaurant, Kamoa Ukulele, and Tiki Aniki. Let's give a listen.
Kauai Coffee, 100% pure Hawaiian, single-origin, GMO-free coffee. Grown and roasted here on the Garden Island, at retail locations island-wide on all the Hawaiian Islands, and at our estate on Highway 540 between Kalaheo and Ali'ali, where walking tours and coffee tasting are also available. More information and ordering online at kauaicoffee.com.
The Dolphin Restaurant Fish Market and Sushi Lounge in Hanalei and Poipu. Local gourmet sushi, fresh fish daily, steaks and seafood, and specialty cocktails. Dining on our lanai at the Poipu Restaurant with panoramic sunset and ocean views. The Dolphin Restaurant Fish Market and Sushi Lounge. Information online at thedolphinkauai.com.
Kamoa Ukulele Company, dedicated to building high-quality bell-tone instruments. Built with a one-player-at-a-time philosophy, whether you're a true beginner or ukulele master, there's a tailored Kamoa experience for you. From student models up to custom masterpieces, Kamoa Ukulele Company, a family-owned business, supports KKCR. More information at 652-9999 or online at kamoaukulelecompany.com. Tiki Iniki is now open for lunch, happy hour, dinner, and late night dining, 11:30 a.m. to midnight. In the Princeville Center, Tiki Iniki, farm and boat to table fine dining in a wild setting. For reservations, 431-4242.
And a big mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And here comes Jazz with John, Yesterday's.